Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and welcome to episode 80, kicking off the You Look Hungry summer sessions. Come join me as we take You Look Hungry on the road throughout America. And today, we're hanging out in New Orleans, Louisiana, with a very special guest who's been on the show before, bartender Allie Mills, creator of the insanely popular speakeasy known as Dash and Pony. And Allie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me again.
So Dash and Pony is almost a year old, and for listeners out there who missed that episode where we spoke about what it was, describe it and what it's all about.
Sure. So it's basically a once-a-month cocktail party. We have guest bartenders each time that create a one-time-only cocktail list. And we have guest chefs that come and create a one-time-only menu. And then I guess it moves around town. It's hosted by different spaces. Usually we try to use spaces that are either new or kind of not public. So it's sort of, I don't know, it's a little adventure for people every time, kind of secret. But yeah, so it's like a sounding board for people's ideas, I guess, in the food and beverage industry here, if that makes sense at all.
So, since we last spoke, what have you been up to?
Tons of stuff. We recently had the one-year party, or the one-year Dash and Pony episode, I guess. It was hosted in a really awesome space that houses a warehouse that houses all of the floats for a Mardi Gras crew called Crew de Vue, which is one of the coolest crews. So we had it there, and then the bartender was Cole Newton, who owns a bar called 12 Mile Limit here in town. An awesome bartender. He did some crazy stuff. He made like a hypnotic punch, which sounded nuts to me, but turned out to be really delicious. And then, yeah, so, I mean, every time is different. All year we've had different bartenders, different cooks. It's been a really fun ride, I guess.
Yeah, so you guys also, you know, talk a little bit about the food component, because it's amazing, like, as the space changes and the jinx change as well, you get, like, really delicious food.
Yeah, we partner up every time with a different either chef or a different pop-up or a different concept. We've had some really awesome people work. We had the year party was Dave Barbo, who's a very talented chef. He works at, or actually a butcher as well. He works at a company called Cleaver & Company. It's an artisanal butcher shop in town. And he made like the most delicious, like, basically, it was just, like, everything that you could make with pork. He just made the most delicious stuff for the last party. We've also had Jesus, which is a Greek pop-up partner up with us. This next upcoming Dash and Pony is actually this Sunday, and it's going to be the chef Jonathan Listingi from a new restaurant called Le Fin du Monde. He's making sort of French and Louisiana inspired small plates, so it's going to be really awesome, I think. I mean, it's always, it's fun for people. It's like they can work on something for one night, not have to really worry about it. If it totally falls flat, it hasn't done that yet, but if it totally does, it's not a big deal, and they can kind of be experimental. So it's always really fun to see what people come up with.
This city is full of bugs. just last night, I was almost, airlifted away by a sea of termites.
Oh, God, it's the worst.
And, we're in the tropics here. There is no question that there are bugs bigger than my face. And, it can be a bad scene, but I recently learned that sometimes bugs get into alcohol and actually help it, like, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, God, those termites last night, it was like a biblical plague of locusts. It was so terrible. But, yeah, I think it's, people are a little bit squeamish about the idea that bugs, insects get into their food and drinks pretty regularly. But, yeah, usually it's kind of a good thing. Especially I know in beer, there are these, like, huge open fermentation vats, and like bugs fall in from the rafters in these cellars and carry with them like all of these yeasts that enrich the flavor of the beer, and so like brewmasters are sort of, they're okay with that, and we should all be sort of okay with it too, because it improves the flavor, but I think people don't really like thinking about it, including you, because your face is hilarious. But yeah, I recently learned that, a lot of these dyes, these food additives, are insect-based. Like, one of my favorite stories is about the scale insect that grows in the side of a prickly pear cactus that they actually used for years to flavor and color Campari. And it was, that bright red comes from, it's like carmine, comes from cochineal scales. So it's just like, it's everywhere. Bugs are everywhere. They're great.
Well, and there's other bugs. Like, I think about, peat moss and the production of whiskey.
Oh,
I just
recently
learned that sometimes earthworms have been known to get into the whiskey batch when, you throw that smoked, peat in there. Mm-hmm. Which is sort of gross to think about, but yeah, so I guess bugs are a good thing. We should embrace them.
Yeah, the wormy flavor of scotches is something that kind of grosses me out, actually. when people talk about that, it's like Sauvignon Blanc and cat piss.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you know what worms taste like? Why do you know what worms taste like? Are you just like sitting in your front yard eating earthworms? Like, what's going on there? But yeah, for all aspiring, whiskey experts, maybe that's what you have to do.
It's a hazing process.
Process. You get like a secret tattoo if you, to show people that you're a whiskey expert after you eat like a certain number of earthworms.
So, there's no question that New Orleans is going through a beverage, I don't want to say renaissance, but definitely something is happening here, not just in the cocktail world, but also in the coffee world. And I've lived here on again, off again for 10 years, and I feel like even just the past 2 years, I've noticed a progressive shift that's happening. There's a lot of new folks that have come into town from other parts of the U.S. who are contributing and creating very exciting new projects here. Can you talk about some of those projects?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons of exciting things going on. People who have either come back or moved here for whatever reason. The coffee sort of renaissance that's going on right now is super exciting. I drink more coffee than is probably humanly, safe to consume. But it's really exciting. There are a lot of people, like a lot of micro roasters. There's, you know, Brigade Coffee that just opened up their coffee truck recently. There's a guy doing French truck coffee, which is going to start micro roasting. There's a bunch of people trying to break crate here, which is really, it's kind of strange to me because New Orleans has this history of being such a coffee town. You know, we still import some huge percentage of the coffee that comes into the country comes through the port of New Orleans and up the Mississippi River, but none of it is really broken up here and roasted here anymore, or, you know, not a lot of it. A lot of it goes up the river to Kansas City and then even farther to Chicago and roasted there. So there are a lot of people trying to sort of get back to our roots in coffee, which is really exciting. There's a new coffee shop that opened up this year in the French Quarter called Spitfire. They're making, you know, they're upping everybody's game. And they're sort of fostered, going back to cocktails, they're sort of fostered by Bitterman's, which also moved back to town, or moved to town. They were based in New York, making, you know, small batch bitters and importing interesting alcoholic products and liqueurs and things like that. And they just recently moved their operations down here. So that's really exciting. But they're kind of fostering and bringing up the cocktail community as well as the coffee community. So, you know, we all like our beverages here.
So it seems as though there is a influx of new bartenders that come in and out of the city from other parts of the U.S., you know, places like Portland, L.A., Brooklyn, et cetera. And how do you think that is helping this community? And why do you think it's so easy to come back and forth?
Well, I think, you know, New Orleans is a is like a rich historical place for, and cultural place for, you know, our industry. It's pretty cheap to live here as opposed to a lot of those other places that you named. I also think it's kind of different, you know, after, before the storm. I know we were both here before the storm, and there was like this running joke about brain drain in the city, and like you would go to school here or come here for a couple of years, and then you'd dry up all of your opportunities and kind of have to go somewhere else. You know, I remember this like mass exodus to Brooklyn a few, you know, 6 years ago or something. But it's exciting to see that people are kind of moving back. People are exploring the city. There's so much opportunity now here. There's more and more of a push for, you know, experimentation, and I mean, it's kind of, I kind of love it. I'm really glad. I want people to move here, and once it gets under their skin, it's like, you'll never get out again. But it's fun.
Well, it also seems like, you know, it's a incubator for creative enterprises, because there is not a large industry here in a lot of ways. It seems as though you sort of have to create your own enterprise.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of big dollars here. We're sort of down here on our own in a lot of ways, which is great, because, you know, there's opportunity and space for small startups. You know, like Pizza Delicious, Spitfire is a really tiny company. You know, like all of these people are sort of doing their own thing in a way that, you know, it'd be really difficult, I think, to do anywhere else without the kind of community that we have here. So yeah, it's awesome.
So, you know, since you've sort of thrown these events, how do you feel that it's affected your work and your life in general?
Well, I mean, it's always really inspiring and awesome to watch other people work, and, you know, I copy them a lot. I steal a lot of their ideas. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of, the conversation that happens when you are throwing one of these events with a bartender that isn't from a bar where you work or isn't from a restaurant where you've really, you know, had very much to do with before, it's always, you know, you're always going to learn something. So it's, I think, improved my skill as a bartender. I think hopefully, you know, that sort of cross-pollination of ideas and methods has helped them as well. And, you know, you just kind of get, they get to show off a little bit. So they do things that they're probably not allowed to do in their regular bartending jobs, or, you know, isn't appropriate for whatever style of restaurant where they work or bar where they work. And so they can, you know, they can make a hypnotic punch and like, whatever, cool. Like, so yeah, you learn a lot. It's fun.
We are going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, lots more from bartender Allie Mills of Dash and Pony. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to AM by Shadowbox on the heritageradionetwork.org. This special program was brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm broadcasting to you live from New Orleans, Louisiana, at a undisclosed location with bartender Allie Mills of the illustrious pop-up speakeasy called Dash and Pony. And before the break, we were discussing bugs and booze, what Dash and Pony is, what she's been up to over the past year as it's come into its own, and also the New Orleans contemporary cocktail culture and what's happening here. I would love to get your interpretation on what's been going on now versus 5 years ago in the cocktail world, when I feel like I just remember initially seeing bartenders who would rock a vest and a really intense mustache. You know, at one point you referred to them, it was insulting to call them bartenders. It was more proper to say mixologist. You know, where do you think we are now with this whole culture?
Well, I mean, I think that most people have, at least most people I know and spend a lot of time with, don't really mind being called either a mixologist or a bartender. I mean, I think that I'm first a bartender. I want, you know, people to come into my bar and have a good time and enjoy what they're drinking. And I want it to be, you know, fast. But I, you know, I guess mixologists are the people who create the cocktails. I guess there's a distinction there if you really want to get into it. But, yeah, the only thing I really don't like being called anymore is a bar chef. I'm really over that term. I think the last two events I worked, they called me a bar chef on the poster, and I was not into that.
That's maybe the worst term I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm anti bar chef. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a strange thing happening in cocktails now where, you know, it's become sort of more mainstream. More people know about this craft cocktail movement. It's become kind of, there, a lot of people have been talking about like cocktail revival backlash, which is an interesting discussion, I think, that's happened because New Orleans never really lost their cocktail culture. So the fact that it's become more like nationally recognized cocktail culture, people are, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people would never have come into any bar and expected you to know how to make an old fashioned. And now it's like, you know, pretty much de rigueur, which is cool. But
so I think about, you know, there was an article that recently came out that was discussing why it's okay for bartenders to be rude. And, you know, conceptually, it's sort of this
idea. Is it okay?
Well, I mean, you know, the question is it okay to walk into a tequila bar and say, hello, I'd like a vodka tonic? Well, sir, we don't have vodka here. What do you mean you don't have vodka?
Right.
You know, is that appropriate? Do you go to a sushi bar and ask for a hamburger?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a... I mean, no, you don't go to a sushi bar and ask for a hamburger. That would be weird. But yeah, I think we've reached a point where, you know, people are more educated about cocktails and drinks and beverages than they have been before. But now they just... I think that there's sort of a problem with people who expect every bar to be able to make every drink ever. You know, you wouldn't go to a restaurant, you know, you'd look at the menu and know what kind of style of restaurant they are. And you know, you in the same way that like you can't go to a craft cocktail bar with like a tiny back bar and I really expect them to have, you know, a Jack and Coke. If you want a Jack and Coke, you need to go to a bar where they have that. And I think that, you know, if I have something behind my bar and I can make a drink for you, I will happily make it for you. But if I don't have an ingredient, there's a problem that communicating that sometimes and like how to communicate that without seeming like a jerk, I think is the main problem with that. Like even in that article, they didn't really talk about, you know, how you sort of have to be apologetic a little bit about not having that. So, even though, you know, the consumer should probably not expect you to be a magical warehouse full of every booze ever imaginable.
So, you know, it is summertime. Mm-hmm. Even though it's May, it doesn't matter. We are in Blanche DuBois type of weather here.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hot, very humid. And I would love to know, what is your summer cocktail of choice and how do you make it?
Oh, man. God, well, since we were talking about bugs earlier, and, you know, New Orleans is so crawling with, like, 1,000,000,000 insects right now. I love the simple kind of refreshing cocktails during the summer. It's so hard to move here. It's like you're moving through a wall of water every time you lift an arm. So, you know, sipping a Campari and soda on the side of a pool is always, you know, the way to go. You know, it's a super simple cocktail. You're probably going to think I'm lazy.
But, you are. You live in New Orleans. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm totally... It's not lazy. It's the southern speed, you know? Like, so, you know, you walk a block and you're like, oh,
exhausted.
God, I need another mint julep to get down the street. You're exhausted. But, yeah, you know, that I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with the Campari soda.
It is a little strange to me. I mean, there's something about drinking alcohol here and, you know, not... It's almost as though the heat sweats out the alcohol so that you can drink for hours.
Or that's what we like to tell ourselves when we're like little old ladies sitting on the porch drinking, you know, drinking our spritzers and gossiping about the neighbors. But...
But yeah, I remember when I was young thinking a mint julep had to be like, it had to be something that I wanted because it was like mint and like I and little old ladies drank it. And then the first time I ordered a properly made mint julep in a bar, I was so surprised about how strong they are. Like, properly made, they're basically just whiskey. You know, they're just bourbon. Mint and sweet, sweetened minty bourbon. And so it's just like, that's what these, like, that's what my aunts were sipping on the porch. Like, they were getting wasted. I had no idea.
It makes you understand Eudora Welty a little bit more. Right. Mississippi lady.
Exactly, Mississippi lady. And another thing about
that. Another thing I have to say. Well, so, you know, for the future of Dash and Pony, what's on the horizon?
We, oh my gosh, it's really exciting. The next Dash and Pony is this Sunday, and we're actually having it at a new restaurant in town. It's the first time we're having it in a restaurant. Usually we have them, you know, in spaces that are not usually used for food production and booze. But we're having it at a restaurant called Le Fin du Monde. I have a really talented team that's coming up with some really awesome cocktails this time, so I'm excited about that. And their chef Jonathan is awesome, and he's making small plates, and it's going to be awesome. And then the next one, I'm going to blow up his spot, is going to be Nick Dietrich of Cane and Table, Cure Belloc. He's so knowledgeable. He's like a walking encyclopedia about... you should really have interviewed him, by the way, Helen. It's like, by the by. But I'm stoked. So it's going to be a really awesome few months. And then, of course, we take July off because it's too hot to move. And all we can focus on is...
Drinking.
Yeah. We can't make up cocktails that month. We have to just drink them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, God help us all.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
As always, thanks so much to Jack Inslee, Joe Galarraga, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio. I will see y'all in New Orleans next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.